Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast, the Roarcast podcast. Today we have Alexia Prudencio with me. It is just the two of us.
Amazing.
Like always. Just the two of us. Okay. Well, we're doing things a little bit differently tonight.
Yes, we are.
We had a individual scheduled, but we're taking care of things. So we thought, let's do a little bit different. Let's flip this table around. We're going just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
To talk about what the heck is college.
What the heck are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Well, currently, we are thriving.
Yes, we are.
I just finished my show. We just bought dresses for the gala.
Yes.
Ooh. I'm so excited.
I am so excited. We're going to be able to be all fancy with the people and yeah.
Dress like a princess.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friend Anju is doing my hair.
Can you ask her to the mic?
All right. Please. Yes, I will ask. So the first question that we came up with is, why Lindenwood?
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. So for me, I'm from Bolivia, right? So I'm an international student. I'm an international student. I didn't know anything about Lindenwood. My brother is a senior here. So what happened is that I just followed his steps because I didn't want to go to college. Like I wanted to take a gap year, and after COVID hit, I was like, hey, like, I don't want to stay in my room for a year because I couldn't travel. So I decided to come to college, and Lindenwood was the answer. But then I guess, like, it's not about, like, why did I choose Lindenwood? It's more like why I decided to stay at Lindenwood. Because my plan was, like, my first plan was to transfer after my first year. But then I just loved it. I just loved the people, like Lauren. I just like the people I work with and all the opportunities that I can get out of being in this community.
I didn't know you wanted to transfer.
Yeah. I mean, that was the idea before coming. I was like, I'm going to do a year in Lindenwood and then go somewhere else. Yeah.
Maybe go to Washington, D.C.?
Maybe. Someday.
This summer, baby. Okay. All right. So mine is a little different. So when I was applying to colleges, I started my junior year going to a theater conference in Lincoln, Nebraska called International Thespian Festival. Mm. There I paid money to audition for a bunch of colleges. And funny enough, I was dead set on going to Oklahoma City University. Like, that was the school I was going to go to. It had an amazing stage management program. It was, like, 30 minutes away from my uncle.
Wow.
I know, right? I could have done laundry at his house. I could have hung out with my cousins, who I haven't seen in 3 years. I miss them. But I got an email from a woman named Stacey Blackburn, who was like, hey, I like your resume. I think you would fit well at Lindenwood University.
Come
to my table. I was like, okay. Just a little naive Lauren Porter goes to the table. And I was like, oh my gosh, this seems amazing. Stacey and me vibed. We were like, okay, I got this. We're going to do this. And yeah, she kind of roped me in. I toured the campus right before COVID, like 1 week before it closed, right before COVID. And I was like, all right, I think I like this place. And we decided if I got into the stage management program, I would go here. Got into the stage management program with two other people. And then, yeah, I just came here.
Now you're here.
And now I'm here, a junior.
Now we're doing a podcast.
Exactly. I definitely thought about transferring, if I'm going to be honest. COVID year hurt real bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh. It ruined my mental health and physical health. Thank you, COVID.
Yes.
And so I considered transferring to Nebraska Wesleyan, which was the school, like, near my house. So I could have, like, gone home and stayed at home and did theater and stuff like that. But I decided I would stay. And then I found this job, and this job is kind of just like...
Just saved your life.
Saved it. I was like, you know what? Never mind. I ain't leaving. I love my job. I love my
life. I never thought I was going to say that.
I know, right? It's like, I love my life. I get to go to school. I get to go to work with people I love.
Yeah.
I get to live in a house where I can cook my own food. I just Instapotted my own fried rice.
Fried rice.
It's so good.
It's actually really good.
Thank I tried you. It. Not the newest batch.
Oh.
No, the newest sesame batch. Seeds? I had the sesame seeds. Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good. So, we both have very interesting majors. So, what was your journey to your current career goals and your majors?
When I was deciding, like, what to study, I love everything related to the environment and, like, the protection of the environment. So I started...
Join Climate Crew.
Yes, join. I started with biology my freshman year and international relations because I wanted to do, like both, like, biology, but also do, like, policy changes and, like, things like that. So I started with that. I liked it, but it was just not for me. I didn't like tests about like biology and like the world. I love learning about it, but not just like as a career, I guess. So I just took it out and I added mass communication. Mass communication seemed like the right fit because it was like, yes, I want to do something related to journalism, and I feel like stories are such an important part of the world, and telling the right stories are something that I love, and I would love for other people to see what I write, or like also like pass the mic to people that should have a voice. So that's what I kind of like went with mass communication. And then nonprofit administration came in. I was still like my freshman year, I wanted to like work on like diplomacy and stuff like that. But then after I took my nonprofit classes with Dr. Turner, I just loved it. And then I just got super, super interested in like the nonprofit world and like philanthropy and kind of like connecting both like international relations and like storytelling from mass communication into the nonprofit world. And how can I impact like my community in some way? That was mainly like always the goal from different perspectives. So yeah, now I'm doing international relations, mass communication as my majors, my minor nonprofit administration, and my certificate in global fluency, which is kind of like cultural understanding of the world. My career goals always are like always changing, but I think that I still want to focus on the nonprofit world and like NGOs.
Interesting.
This year I kind of like gained a love for higher ed and the work that we do in first year programs, mm-hmm. and the work that other people do. I feel like higher ed is a nice and like important place to like impact people's lives and like help other people achieve their dreams or you know, like get out of their comfort zone, and that's what I kind of like to do. So
would you want to be like, for example, a teacher, or would you like to be more of like what Karen and Justin are, directors of programs that are administration and student involvement?
I mean, I think I would love to teach, but not like conventional teaching as like always being in the classroom, more like hands-on experiences. Going to places, like working with the community, and things that I feel that we need as like undergrads, mm-hmm. Right now, and also just like it's kind of like our duty to do good in the world,
yeah.
As human beings, so just like connecting those like people's goals and ambitions with like doing good for the community. That's kind of like what my vibe would be. For classes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Someday.
Someday.
What about you?
So we're going to take it back to when I was little.
Oh, holy moly.
When I was little, I started doing theater as a way to help, like, calm my emotions, mm-hmm. put my energy towards something. So I started theater, and I started when I was 8 years old. I continued through theater through all of high school. Originally, I thought I wanted to be an actress. I was like, I want to be an actress on Broadway.
You're such a good actress.
Absolutely.
I would watch you.
I mean, you already do. Yeah. When I put tiny performances on in the cars. But I was told, you know, you have the voice. Mm-hmm. You just don't have the acting skills.
Okay.
So I was just kind of tired of being told no. I was like, you know what? Pass. I'm done with this. No more. So I had a wonderful technical director named Patrick Vendetti, who was my high school technical director. And he was like, hey, you seem pretty ambitious. Do you want to work in the sound department for our theater? And I was like, yes. So I started doing sound. And the person who was like the head sound, like, kind of made me do everything. Mm-hmm. So my freshman year, I was ASM, or assistant stage manager, for a show because of how much work and dedication I put into that program my first year. That. So after that, I stage managed pretty much every show at high school. And I loved it. I loved the interactions with the people. I loved helping create a show. I loved helping make organizational decisions, mm-hmm. and helping with schedules, all of that. That made me very happy. So when I went to college, I was like, oh, this is going to be the same thing. No. boy, was I hit with a rude awakening. To give you an idea, I also came in during COVID. Mm-hmm. So my freshman year, my first show I did was called Showcase. And everyone had to be in masks. You had to be 6 feet away. And for that entire process, my main job was moving on a couple of set pieces and playing music. And so that was the first show I ever did. The second show that I did was Urinetown, and there I got hit with COVID symptoms, like previous symptoms. Yeah. Because basically I got pleurisy, which is the lining of my chest got inflamed. And so I was having to go to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack. And then at a certain point I started passing out. There was a lot of medical stuff. And I did that through Urinetown. I also got in a car accident during Urinetown. It was minor. No, like, big injuries, but my body was quite sore afterwards. And I had a lighting tree, which is about 15 to 20 feet tall, fall on me. So, like, a lot of stuff happened within that show.
Are you okay now?
I'm okay now. But that just made me kind of take a break from stage management. And I worked at an internship that was very interesting, to say the least. But I learned how much I love the administrative side of nonprofits because I worked at a nonprofit, not as specifically a theater, but just an event center. And so after that, I started looking more into nonprofits. And one day I met a lady who does arts administration and it clicked to me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm meant to do. I am meant to advocate for arts in the Midwest. It has always been in me, but it's like I knew what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. but it's like I couldn't figure out. I had glasses on that just, it was the stage management glasses. I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. This is my life. But once I took those off, I was able to see my true potential and my true future, which is advocating for the arts in the Midwest.
I love that.
So because of that, I added a business major, business administration, and a nonprofit minor and a digital marketing minor. So my full degree would be a BFA in stage management, a BA in business administration with a minor in digital marketing and nonprofit administration. Afterwards, I am hoping to work in arts admin for a couple of years and then go get my master's at Yale University in their arts management program. And then go back to my hometown, Lincoln, Nebraska, to work at the Lead Center for Performing Arts, where I gained my true love of theater and work there for the rest of my life.
The rest of your life.
They have great school districts. Like, I know we're not, like, talking about, I don't even have a significant other. I'm just saying, when I have children,
you gotta have great think school, about the future.
I have to think of, like, I'm thinking 20 steps ahead.
Yeah, I feel like we usually kind of, like, think like that, you know, like, we think we prepare our future and we have, like, a plan, and usually doesn't go as accordingly. Yeah. And I'm kind of, like, now that we, like, I'm a junior, I'm almost graduating, like, a year, I'm thinking, like, I'm so nervous about, like, what it's going on and what am I going to do. And I'm making all these plans about, like, my future that maybe at the end of the day, just as what happened with, like, choosing Lindenwood and, like, choosing to come to college, it's maybe going to change.
Yeah. Maybe another pandemic.
Yeah. Or even, like, war. Even just, like, changing your dreams. And like, that's what we were talking the other day with you. Remember, like plans change, but also, like, our dreams and our ambitions can like, evolve. Mm-hmm. So that's what I kind of, like, love about college. It's like you can experience different things that could allow you to become, like, the person you want to be, or just, like, finding new passions like you did and like I did. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I feel like my plans provide me a sense of stability.
Yes.
100%. Like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And are they going to change? Absolutely. They are 100% going to change. They've already changed multiple times. They're
changing.
In the past couple of months. But it's like I have a base of where I can go.
Yeah, I agree. I'm more like I go with the flow. Now, like, I used to, like, my freshman year, my sophomore year, I think I would just, like, go according to plan. But then, you know, even, like, just being in COVID kind of, like, taught me things don't go your way all the time.
Yeah.
Or, like, and maybe, like, you think it's just, like, the wrong way, or, like, you're mad that something is not going as, like, accordingly to your plan. But I feel like at the end of the day, that's the things that teach you the most and, like, makes you grow the most, too.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, while we're on that subject, when it comes to college, there are multiple hurdles you have to get through. So what are, in your opinion, the biggest strengths and struggles you have dealt with while at college for the past 3 years?
I feel like the struggles that I've had were mostly just personal, like a constant battle with myself. And I one of those people that I do a lot. And like my friends, my family, they, like, everybody says, like, how do you do all this stuff, right? You're part of all these organizations, you have all these majors, like, and minors and stuff. But I feel like my struggle is mainly just battling the feeling that I'm not doing enough. I still do a lot. I know I'm doing a lot, but, like, at the same time, I'm just, like, it's not enough for the career I want to pursue, or just, like, my personal achievements. So
to give you all an idea of what this woman does, she is taking 24 credits. Is director of diversity, equity, and inclusion for student government. President of
an organization,
LIRO, which is international relations. A chair member for her sorority, Phi Sig, and what else?
I do some work at my hometown, like in Bolivia, for other, like, nonprofits and, like,
works for nonprofits in Bolivia.
I'm not
works
for work.
First just, year, like, programs,
but yeah, but, like, stuff like that. It's just, like,
phenomenal.
And I feel like my freshman year, I had, like, the same feeling that you had about, you were talking, you know, like, the heart attack thing. And it's something that we don't talk as much in college, and we should. Like, mental health and, like, how college can really affect you. Like, people that maybe, like, I never had that feeling before of, like my body was numbed. And I was like, I think I'm having a heart attack. I was like, literally, I'm having a heart attack. And my roommate, she was super scared because my body was just, like, numbed. My entire, like, the left side of my body. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't move my face. And I was like, what's going on? Like, what is this? And my roomie, she took me to, like, the urgent care. Mm-hmm. And they did a bunch of, like, tests and, like, the heart, whatever, like, all, a bunch of things.
EKG.
And, yeah, they gave me, like pills and, like, whatever. And then after, like, a couple of hours, they were like, oh, it's a stress. And I was like, holy moly, like, what? You know, like, you would never think that you would be as stressed in college as we are. And we don't talk about it because I know, like, so many people just kind of, like, keep doing it. Like, keep going with their schedules because, like, there's so many people doing so many things. And we are constantly, like, battling with ourselves about, like, pushing us to do more and pushing us to, like, fit in this role of, like, college perfect students.
Yeah.
Or, like, athletes or whatever. And yeah, we forget about our mental health. And, yeah.
Have you ever taken personality tests? Like, the Myers-Briggs, which is, like, the INFG kind of thing, or what color you are?
The colors, yes. I don't remember which color I'm in, though.
There's green, golden, blue, I guess. And gold.
I don't remember. Your problem. What is yours?
Mine's a blue. Mine's absolutely a blue. It has been a blue for my entire life.
I'm a rainbow. I'm everywhere.
You're everywhere.
But yeah, what about you?
So my freshman year, I struggled with homesickness, like, so badly.
Okay.
My roommate moved out because me and her disagreed at what time an appropriate bedtime was. I thought 1 a.m. She thought 5 a.m. And when I mean bedtime, I mean what time to turn off the video games and not be cussing and screaming and killing things on a computer screen while I'm trying to go to bed. You have no idea how terrifying it is. When I am trying to sleep and it's like, oh, there's his guts. I'm going to kill him. It was a lot bad, but we are on radio. But yeah, so when she left, I was very thankful. I was like, okay, I can finally have this room to myself. But that also meant
being alone.
I was alone for most of my freshman year. Like, I didn't go out because of COVID. I didn't have many friends because of COVID. And, like, I had some friends in, like, first-year programs, like, first-year council. But, like, we didn't really know each other at that point. So, it was like, eh.
Because of COVID.
Because of COVID. So, I didn't really like it. I was like, I would like to leave. And, like, even in theater, you know, I tried to be, like, integrated into the theater community. But, again, it was COVID. And so, people were like, oh, we want to hang out, but we don't just because of COVID. And so I was very lonely my first year, and I was like, I'm going home. Like, I can't do this anymore. You know what? I'm done. But my mother was like, give it one more year. You got this. So when I got here my second year, I was like, oh, this is going better. I'm in first year programs, working as an administrative assistant. I'm a part of different organizations. I'm doing theater again. And I got a lot more involved. But that first year was real hard.
Yeah.
I would often, like, call my mother at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning crying. I'm like, I don't want to be here. And I had a car. So the amount of times I would drive, like, 4 hours. My house is 6 hours away. Drive 4 hours to my house and then be like, my mom would kick my butt if I got home, if she woke up and I was there. So I'm just going to drive back. She's a lovely woman, but she would not be happy. Like,
what are you doing here?
Be like,
go to college.
You were supposed to be in class in 15 minutes, and you were 6 hours away. How are you planning on getting to class?
Yeah, I feel like that's something that we also don't talk about as much, and that we should talk more freely about, like, kind of, like, homesickness and, like, feeling lonely, because, like, college can turn a lonely place and can turn kind of, like, an experience that you didn't expect to have at all. So that's why, like, I feel like freshman council or, like, different programs that we have in the office may help some students feel part of the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
At some level, because we cannot help everybody, but we can at least give resources and be there for everyone too.
Yeah, well, like even with student orientation, yeah. I consistently to a point where they're like, "We know Lauren." But it was like, y'all, if you are homesick, if you need anything, call me whenever. Yeah. I will come to your room and I'll play mother. I got this.
I've been there.
I have been there. I will. If you are sad because you miss home, I have a kitchen. I can cook. I know a really good chocolate chip cookie recipe. I got this under control, y'all. So I definitely think that, like, just making sure that we are, I feel like we're hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And in others too.
And I don't think we're as hard as we are on ourselves than we are, or I don't think we're as hard on ourselves or our others as we are ourselves.
You got it.
It took me a while, but I got there. Because I go to therapy. I love my therapist. Mm-hmm. She's made me feel a lot better mentally, emotionally. And I was telling her, I was like, I'm an awful stage manager. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. And Jamie, my therapist, was like, take yourself out of you. Like, just mm-hmm. take yourself out of you and talk to the person who you were talking so badly about. And I was like, you would not at all even, without a doubt, say that to anyone else. And I was like, yeah that's mean. She's like, then why are you doing it to yourself? I was like, because I can. And I was like, no, that's not how that works. You have to treat yourself like a friend. You'd never be that mean to yourself or to a friend. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, oh, that person's awful. Like, if I heard someone talking that way to Alexia, I'd be like, I'm gonna punch you. But I, yet again, will talk to myself even worse.
I feel like also, like, the expectations that we have. I just punched the microphone.
Good job.
The expectations that we have from society about, like, college students and, like, how much we just, like, the world just expects from, like, college students. Like, you know, we were talking about, like, changing your minor or, like, your major mm-hmm. and how other people would be just like, why are you doing that? You know, like, you have to decide your future at 20 years old. And that was maybe just, like, the case years ago, mm-hmm. like, when my parents were in college.
Or mine.
That they had to decide what they were going to do. Even my mom just, like, she's a lawyer and she, like, actually never worked as a lawyer. And she's doing other stuff because she just didn't like it at the end. But she was not allowed to change her career when she was in college, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something, like, positive about our experience now. But I feel like it's still, like, a stigma to, like, don't know who you are at 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was watching, or no, I was reading this article about Gen Z, because both of us are in Gen mm-hmm. Z. And most college students are Gen Z. And one of the things that a lot of people are, like, talking about when it comes to Gen Z is how, like, emotionally sensitive we are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
We are. But there's a reason before that. And why we have so many, like, a lot of us are, like, having anxiety or depression. Like, there's a reason behind that. So everyone went through COVID, right? Everyone went through 9/11. Everyone went through the 2008 recession. The biggest difference is those happened when we were developing. We grew up having to go through school shooting trials, or not trials, like exercises. Mm-hmm. We had to go through that as children. We had to go through a recession in which our parents lost our jobs, and we had to do that as children. And so I think there's just been so much thrown at Gen Z. That there's a reason why we have anxiety. There's a reason why we're constantly worried about, you know, what's going to happen next, or what's going to happen, you know, in the future, or, you know, if I'm going to fail this test, that means A, B, C, like, it's a trickling effect. If I fail this one test, I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to be homeless.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to do that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the thing is that it's something crazy is that, okay, some people say, yeah, like, failing a test is not going to, like, affect your life. Yes, it is going to affect my life because, like, mm-hmm. we are expected to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, they say, like, oh, yeah, if you have an F or, like, if you have a C, that's not going to, like, affect your career or your life. Mm-hmm. But maybe, like, I cannot get into my, like, grad program because mm-hmm. of it, you know, and that could like affect everything. So it's like we are saying like, oh yeah, it doesn't really affect your future, but then society still like expects us to have perfect grades and be like just like perfect college students. Yeah. And it's like,
so like to give you an idea, so like here's what my brain does, and I feel like a lot of students have the same way. Okay, I fail a test. If I fail that test, I don't get to get a B in that class. If I don't get a B, I don't have a 3.5. If I don't have a 3.5, I can't take 22 credits. If I can't take 22 credits, I can't graduate on time. If I can't graduate on time, that means that I have to go in more debt. If I have to go in more debt, then my mother has to get in more debt. If we both get in more debt, what if my mom loses her job and then we can't pay for that debt? So then we are homeless. If we are homeless, then where is my dog gonna go? If my dog dies, where am I gonna go? Like, this is literally what we constantly face with.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's like, what point do we stop bringing down, like going through this cycle of like one thing affecting everything?
Yeah.
Is failing a test realistically going to cause me homelessness?
No. Maybe not.
Most likely no. My brain, that's where it goes from, is
yeah,
failing a test to dying on the streets. Yeah. And that's a big leap. My brain does that automatically.
Yeah, I agree. Mine is the same with like just not being involved. Or, like, just not having, like, A's. It's just, like, I'm, like, what if, like, since I'm, like, an international student, I need to get, like, a sponsorship for my working visa, right? Mm-hmm. So what if, like, just, like, one little thing that I didn't do or I did wrong, how could that affect my future of, like, getting a visa? Or just, like, that would change everything, mm-hmm. you know? So it's also like that, like we're constantly worrying about like the what ifs mm-hmm. that at the end of the day, yes, like as we said before, it's kind of like things happen for a reason sometimes, and things happen as they should happen sometimes, and we worry too much about the what ifs, and sometimes like the other reasons or like the other things that happen are the best that could happen to us. But we're still so worried and we're still so stressed and feeling like kind of like useless in the world. I don't know.
Well, Justin's favorite quote recently is that a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? And so it's like,
definitely
okay.
A growth mindset.
No, what we're talking about is a fixed mindset.
Definitely a fixed mindset. But it's
it is a toxic, unfixed or a toxic fixed mindset. And so, even though I've never read this book, the growth mindset does sound wonderful. He hasn't explained what it is, but it sounds wonderful.
Let's implement it in our daily lives.
I am talented. We just do affirmations.
Affirmations of the day.
So, what experience has impacted you the most in college?
I feel like, you know, we usually talk about classes, and before, I think, like, it was mostly just, like, you know, learning through the books and learning through the classrooms. But what has impacted me the most is going out of my comfort zone, joining the organizations I've been joining, mm-hmm. Working on the FYP office, and just, like, being part of the community. I feel that that's where I learned the most about my career and mm-hmm. about my goals, and also just like those tangible like skills that you need in the workforce. I learned it through the extracurricular activities. But I feel like something that has impacted me the most, just being here, I feel like my parents have done a lot for me in that sense, like being just away for them, like from them, and just like, you know, having to just have a call each day. Mm-hmm. I feel like they impact me in the sense that they like support me through everything, like everything. Like, and I think as like I'm growing up, I feel more supported and more thankful than I used to do when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So that's something that has also impacted me in my relationship with my parents, or just like the relationship with myself.
Yeah. It's hard to pinpoint, like, what experience at Lindenwood has really impacted me the most. I would definitely say that work, it sounds, like, repetitive, but...
But it is working, what it is.
Working at the first year programs really did help me through a lot.
I agree.
Because... When I started working at the podcast, or when I started working at first year programs, I met Devin, who had the idea of doing this podcast. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And the podcast has changed my life because it has brought me out of my comfort zone. It has allowed me to meet a lot of individuals. And it also has helped me get jobs, weirdly enough, because when one person was like, oh, you do a podcast, our theater is hoping to start a podcast. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you marketed it. And so the podcast really opened me up to new experiences. And the podcast is why I started LU Girl Power and that organization. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love how involved I have become since joining first year programs. Mm-hmm. And same as you. I love my mother. She has really helped me through a lot. She would answer my calls at 3 a.m. Be like crying. I'm like, I stubbed my toe. I stubbed my toe. And she was like, why are you calling me? Because you stubbed your toe. I was like, it hurt. She's like, have you slept in the past couple of days? I was like, no. She's like, have you eaten? No. Eat food and sleep. I was like, but I stubbed my toe. And she's like, not the reason you're crying, but okay.
You're like, I'm crying because everything.
It really do be like that.
But I also stubbed my toe.
It's like not the biggest concern, but I did stub my toe and it hurt.
Oh my god, that's so
funny. I know.
Yeah. So I think like one of our last questions was kind of like what's next for us, and yeah. Do you want to answer it?
Sure. What is next? Well, at 6 o'clock.
What the heck is next?
Well, at 6 o'clock, I have a theater company meeting. That is, and when I go home, I'm going to eat the fried rice that I made. And that then
sounds so good.
Well, you're coming over to watch Hocus Pocus 2.
I'm actually going.
Do you want some fried rice?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You owe me one meal plan.
Two. Yeah, I love that answer.
I have an idea of what I want to do, but there's still a lot of stuff that's undecided at this moment. I'm starting to apply for internships in the next couple of weeks. And the one tip I would give for internships is apply to ones you never thought you could apply to. Last summer, I applied to a random internship in Toronto, Canada, because I was bored one day. And I was like, let's just see. And I got a second interview with them.
Dang.
I know. I was like, oh, I already had a job at that point. But I did get a second interview with a company in Toronto who wanted a music intern to, like, help with artist management. Was
love that.
What it was called.
That would be so cool.
And so, like, this time, I'm applying to different internships across the world in theaters that are nonprofits just to see if it happens.
Yeah, you never know.
Like, I'm applying for the Kennedy Center, and Alexia is applying for Washington, D.C. internships, and we will both live in Washington, D.C. this summer.
We're trying to go together, yeah.
Or New York, funny enough.
Who knows? Maybe we end up in Canada.
Honestly, I am looking for myself a Canadian husband.
For me, it's mostly the internships and classes, like taking 24 credits. It's just like constantly working on assignments and then organization stuff. But what I look forward is just eating some Chick-fil-A and watching a movie before I apply for internships tonight.
Hocus Pocus number 2.
Yes.
I saved it. I haven't watched it yet.
Me neither. I saw it yesterday. I mean, I saw the in Disney Plus that they were like the video kind of thing, And I was like, should I watch it? And then I was like, I'm going to wait for Lauren. I was like, I'll wait.
Like, I will wait for this girl.
But yeah. I think that's us.
That's
right now.
That is what I guess we never answered. What the heck is college? College? What the heck is college?
College. Do you want to go first?
No, I'll let you go.
College is the place that you can find or experience who you are, who you want to be. It's just like a place to grow as a human being and as a friend, as a, you know, daughter. And I think that that's the place and the best experience you're probably going to have. So just enjoy it. And even though it's hard sometimes, I just feel that there's people there for us. Mm-hmm. And so what the heck is college is just like part of our lives. So, yeah.
See, I never loved the idea that like college is the best that life brings. Like it's the best time of your life. I never liked that idea because there is still so much more. Like the idea that you peak at 22 is just tragic. Like, oh, that is
I feel that
absolutely tragic.
What when it comes to that, it's just like, it's not that it peaks, it just changes. Mm-hmm. Changes your kind of like position as a daughter, or like, you know, it changes your role in different relationships that you have. Mm-hmm. Like after college, my parents are kind of like helping me a lot in college, right? So when I graduate, we're going to change positions and I'm going to have to take care of them at some point. So like it's the best time to be for yourself.
Better start and saving for elderly homes.
Literally. And it's the best time to be there for yourself and kind of like work for who you want to be.
If your mother listens to this, I
love you, Mom.
I'm so sorry. I suggest that you go into an elderly home. I think you're wonderful. Thanks for hyping me up while I was trying on dresses. Appreciate you.
I'll send it to her.
In my opinion, college is the place where you get to learn how to be you. Like you learn from both amazing experiences and experiences you regret. You learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I learned so many things.
Yeah.
While here, some of them pertaining to school, some of them pertaining to friends, some of them pertaining to legal activities. And I learned it all here. And I like the fact that college provides you a place where you can make mistakes, yeah, and that's okay. And you can experiment and you can figure out what you are as a human, and you are as a professional, and you are as a friend. And for those of you who are in relationships, unlike me, what it's like to have a relationship, a healthy one or a toxic one. Like both, you learn it here. Yeah,
it's like the time to learn. That's true. Yeah. That's why like something that Lyndon would always, like going back to Lyndon Wood stuff, they say they're like a learner-centric university. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just like higher ed in general is learner centric, right? So I feel that that's what college is. Mm-hmm. It's being a learner and like having a space to learn from the others and yourself.
Yeah, real change, real experience,
real success,
real success,
experience, real success. Yeah, success in everybody's own way.
Well, you just listened to a unplanned but kind of fun episode of the Roarcast podcast with just Alexia and Lauren about what the heck is college.
Hi.
Great day.
Justin is just calling my phone.
Oh, Justin.
Roar.